Hi, everyone. Welcome back. It's another episode of Inside Boxing presented by PPV.com on Crown Yahoo Sports. We are getting ready. I'm looking at the calendar right now. It's Thursday, July 9th, which means we're halfway through 2026, which means it's time for our mid-year award show. So we'll have all of our thoughts on what has been a pretty good boxing year. We've got some news and notes. A lot going on, Chris. A lot going on. I'm ready to talk boxing. I'm ready to talk football.
There are times in certain years where this time of the year, there's not a lot going on and there's not a lot to talk about. So we should be very happy with the state of boxing right now. So we have a ton to talk about. Lots of new stuff coming out. Good fights being made. Good fights being talked about. Life is good, Dan. Boxing is well, and life, that means life is good.
No big fights this weekend. Conor McGregor steps into the octagon. We'll have our MMA picks in our FanDuel segment in just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Talked about the football. We were just talking about it before we hit the live button here. I got myself into a little bit of hot water on the old Twitter machine.
Uh-oh.
After USA lost, I was like, ah. I was just so like downtrodden. They got embarrassed.
Yeah, and yeah. They look like they didn't belong.
I fire off a tweet. Now that we can speak freely, soccer sucks anyway. Something along those lines. Like, the sport's awful to watch, I think is what I wrote. Sent it off, went to bed, didn't think twice, wake up.
Flamed.
900 replies.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I want to clear the air.
You were just bitter.
I don't really like I don't really like watching soccer, football. Mm-hmm. I love the pageantry that is the World Cup. I love the countries getting involved. I love the events. I love the parties. I love people. Everything about it. I find myself enthralled watching the drama. As for the actual game, it's not my cup of tea. I'm an American. We didn't really grow up with it. I didn't play it. I kind of want to watch. I wish I didn't send that. I love it. I really love it. Like, yesterday there were no games, and I'm like, found myself like, what the heck?
Yeah, there's a lot of regret with that tweet, bud.
Dumb. That's my brother Robbie was like, he just wouldn't let it go. He's like, that's one of the dumbest tweets I've ever seen.
I would have been in your replies as well. If I was on X, I would have been like, dude, what are you doing here?
For a lot of people, like, were really pissed. Yeah. They were like trying to get personal. They're like, you cover boxing. Boxing sucks. Baseball guy. Someone like superimpose a picture throwing me through a street. Absolutely.
A couple things you can't do. You can't.
Not only that, I fire off that tweet, and then the next day is that Argentina 3-goal epic comeback.
Ridiculous game. Like, insane.
You must have been shitting yourself.
Oh, dude, every time they play, it's just like I have a cardiac arrest. I'm just waiting for the myocardial infarction. And listen, having a game at noon on a Wednesday ruined my entire day. Because, like, how are you supposed to come down after that? Or on a Tuesday, rather. It's like, all right, well, now it's 2:30 and I'm jacked up. What the hell am I doing now? But I was going to say a couple of things you can't do in public. You can't talk bad about soccer. You can't hate on dogs. You can't hurt dogs. If you do that, you're fucking done. But dude, the soccer one's just about as bad from the way people are going to react. It's pretty, pretty bad.
Yeah, it was bad.
It's bad.
Pretty bad. I apologize, everyone. Soccer is great.
You took that one on the chin, though. Great. Cheers to you. Chin.
Sorry about that, everyone. We will have our mid-year awards, but let's get into some news and notes before we get to that. See, PBC has joined DAZN. This is pretty significant. The deal begins with the Spence Zoo fight, which is in 2 weeks. That will air on DAZN. PBC fights have been on DAZN. Like, they do these joint pay-per-views like Benavidez, Zerto, and some others. But now it looks like from moving forward, even PBC events, you know, non-big ones or like non-Benavidez ones or non-Tank ones will be on DAZN. And it's a multi-year partnership from everything I'm reading. So Rolly versus Tio will be on DAZN. Also airing on Amazon as well until that deal runs out. Caveat to this is that Tank Davis is not part of the deal. Like, Tank Davis is in his own stratosphere. So when he decides to come back to boxing, he will have to negotiate his own deal. So not saying Tank won't fight on DAZN, but he is such a moneymaker and different than the rest that those will be negotiated separately. But now every major boxing promotion is under one network/streamer. I feel like we used to pray for times like this, Chris.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, we've been moving toward this for a bit. It was just a matter of time. You know, PBC was like an island of itself with, you know, these Western boxing promotion is holding out. So now we're there. I think it's good, and it makes for a hell of a schedule for DAZN, man. That's a heavy lift. They're gonna have a rough year. But I think it's good for the company. I mean, they're going to expand, obviously. I've worked with the company for many years, and I've seen it evolve. So this is, think for fans, this is great. This is great. You're getting boxing in the same place. And then for hardcores like us, it's easier to make these fights happen. We're going to see these cross-promotional fights on the same network. It's great.
Yeah, there's no reason a big fight should not be made anymore unless, you know, it starts to get dangled with Netflix, which we're seeing with like the Ryan Garcia, Conor Ben, Tyson Fury, Joshua. But for the most part, like 95% of the sport is going to be now on DAZN. So there's no reason why a Matchroom fighter can't fight a PBC fighter.
It's also one more deterrent really for guys to sign with Zuffa, because then you're really putting yourself on an island. Like, if you want to fight any of these guys that are all on these other promotions, like, I'm gonna single myself out now. I can't get on these fights. You know, that's the...
I said every single promotion. There's always one. Zuffa is not part of it.
I put it out as like every single of the Western promotions. Plus, we have Matchroom. We got some of the European ones too, and Queensberry. But it's kind of like, yeah, we know where Zuffa stands in terms of you know, where they are with the old guard.
Well, if they start scooping up like Shakur, who Dan Rafael reported, and he's a pretty damn good reporter, that Shakur is signed to Zuffa. So I don't know how that works. Obviously, we talk about these ring events that could also be on DAZN. And then there's the Zuffa ones where we on Sunday nights that air on Paramount. But if Shakur signs to Zuffa and then they want to make that Devin Haney fight, for instance, I'm not saying that this is going to happen, but will that be on DAZN? Is that on Netflix? That part is still a little murky, but I would say for the hardcores out there, this is a very good thing, because you have to justify the DAZN Ultimate subscription. It's a healthy subscription. It's like $500 a year. So you want value out of that. So there is no reason now the DAZN people, the powers that be, the promoters, they all come together and put their best foot forward. Big fight Saturday nights, they're calling them. Like, I want 45 of them out of 52 weeks a year. Maybe that's a little high. But I want solid fights every Saturday night across the pond here on DAZN. You pay for that $500 at the beginning of the year. You don't think twice about it, and you watch your fights. Will the sport ever be fully mainstream? Is it going to cross over? We'll get some help with TNT here and there. But for the boxing fans out there, if you can shell out the Ultimate plan, this is a good step.
It's still expensive.
Yes, not saying it's not expensive. It's a lot of money.
Because I think about it, like I was lucky to grow up in a boxing household. Like my grandfather was adamant that we had to have every premium channel, because so we could watch every fight. We could have HBO, we'd have Showtime. If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have been able to afford. I couldn't afford this. I couldn't afford $500 a year. You know, I would have had to like literally work as a kid to get, which I might have. I probably actually would have done that. But that's, it's become expensive to be a boxing fan. It's unfortunate. And which is why we're not mainstream. We're never going to be mainstream. We're never going to be like the NHL, the NFL, the MLB because of this. The barrier to entry is just too high. But like you said, it qualifies why we're going to spend the money, because if you break it down, it doesn't turn out to be that much expensive, except for these extra pay-per-views as well. But I don't know. Yeah.
Well, the pay-per-view is a part of it. The 500, I could be wrong. The 500 gets you all the pay-per-views.
Oh, okay. Well, that's better.
So they really make it detrimental if you don't get the Ultimate.
Yeah.
Because AJ versus Prenga is a pay-per-view.
Ouch.
So they're going to, what they're going to do is put everything on pay-per-view now. So when you look at it and go $80 or whatever for Prenga AJ, or $500 for the whole year, and you just get every fight. Because like they're saying PPV, even though these are not PPVs by what we have been accustomed to, even 20 years ago, even though it got pretty watered down. So like, I think the Ultimate plan is worth it as a boxing fan. Like I said, I'm not trying to.
No question, it's worth it. No question, it's worth it. Like yeah.
Because if you spend $80 for average, and if you add it up, it starts adding up real quick. But it's good. It's a good deal. Tank not being part of it is kind of interesting.
That's weird. That's a weird caveat. Like he's that big of a player that he's got his own orbit.
PBC just wanted to have, they have their, that's their main thing, even though he hasn't fought in a year and a half. And according to Bill Haney, and had a conversation with Al Heyman and said that Tank will not be fighting this year, 2027 at the earliest. I feel like that's PBC saying, all right, this is our like our commodity. We still have to hold on to him, and we still have to act separately, and we still have to like maybe work a deal with Netflix per se. Or I think it's smart for PBC to protect one of their only assets.
They're keeping,
one
in the chamber, just in case. Just in case. I mean, I think I agree. I think it's a very smart move, and I think if he can do that, if Tank moves the dial that much, which obviously he does, we've been to his fights, then it is a smart move for PBC to hold back a little powder.
Staying with the business aspect here, have you been following this absolute nonsense that is the AJ Fury update? 2 a.m. now?
Yeah, I thought it was 4 a.m. Now it's 2 a.m. I mean, it's just nonsense.
Nothing good happens past midnight. My grandfather told me that.
That's a great, great learning moment for a young man here for your grandfather. And he's absolutely right. That's why I always leave Vegas. Like, you know, I jump right on the plane. I take the red eyes home after fights on Saturday night.
You're a savage for
yeah.
that.
Get my ass back home. Nothing good happens after midnight in Las Vegas or in the UK. But also the fans there, dude, are they going to make it? They party hard and they start in the afternoon and they go all day and then you're going to have to get them to 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. I don't know.
I understand this is like I said about this fight, a fight that is 8 years expired. Don't exactly clamoring for it. Will we watch it? Yes. But we also have to deal with these painstaking details that have been seeping out over the last couple of weeks, whether who's promoting it, where it's going to be. Now, Turkey, what time is it going to be? Where is it going to be? He has now like got political where, oh, if the mayor lets us do it at 1 a.m., we can do it at Wembley. He's putting it all on the city, putting it all on the mayor, putting it all on their ordinances because they have to a curfew of 11 p.m. in the UK, in London, Wembley, and all that. What Turkey is not saying is that this is Netflix is driving the bus here. Netflix is putting up the money. They're putting up the bulk of it to do this fight. Netflix believes that their 325 million subscribers, a lot of them in North America, will tune in for this fight. So that's what our main focus is. So we'll be on at 2 in the morning, 1 in the morning in the UK, which means about a 9 p.m. start here in the U.S. They have a lot of smart people at Netflix. They crunch numbers. They look at a lot of different charts and all that stuff. And they are deeming that Fury Joshua is a big driver of subscriptions here in the U.S. And for that, UK fans be damned. Show up at 2 a.m. in the winter. December.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I didn't even think about that.
It's messed up.
Nah.
But boxing is messed up.
Yeah, you brought up a great point about Netflix. And if they say it has to be in this time frame, it's got to be in this time frame. I'll just say, I love the Saturday afternoon British cards. When we have them and we're done by 6 p.m., that's nothing. I mean, that's ideal for me. I don't need a prime.
Not good for the U.S. watching on Netflix. Though.
Apparently not.
I don't 100% agree with that. I don't know. It's gotten to a business thing now. It's definitely Netflix.
Well, that's
it.
Dude, that's a numbers thing. That's an algorithm thing. That's like you said, Netflix is smart. They crunch the numbers. They know where the viewership is. I just don't know if that's going to be a big driver of subscriptions. This is a huge UK fight. It's a huge boxing head fight for us, but the majority of fans, I don't know. Like just casual boxing watchers, Netflix fans, are they really going to tune in for this? I don't know.
I don't know. They got the Fury documentary. Joshua came over for the Jake Paul fight and was a star.
Yeah, darling.
I don't know if that how much that translates. The UK fans get kind of screwed in this whole thing, but the flip side is Eddie Hearn, Frank Warren, you had 8 years to make this fight. You didn't for whatever reasons. The fighters had 8 years to make this fight and they didn't for whatever reason. So now it's in the hands of someone that's willing to put up the money, which is Netflix. Can we still complain about it? For sure.
Yes.
Are we still going to watch? Yes. Will those crazy UK fans show up at 1 a.m?
Yes.
Absolutely.
You know what the problem is
so
here?
You have to deal with a lot of
you
things.
You know what bothers me here about this? The UK fans who are such good fans who are guaranteed to tune in are being taken advantage of. And that's what boxing is. What's what we do. You know, we always say like boxing is like, you know, she's the bad girlfriend, you know, that you can't get without, but he's also the bad boyfriend who beats you up and then expects you to come back. Cause that's what boxing does. We got these great UK fans and we know they're going to show up no matter what. So we just take advantage of them and just sop in the eye. They'll be back. It's just, I don't know.
You know, that's crazy. You know what I was watching last night? Out of nowhere, came across it on YouTube. Ali Frazier 2.
Yeah.
Kind of forgotten about.
Yep.
Not one.
That is the forgotten about.
Not three.
Wasn't great.
It's the one in the middle. Then I went down this Ali rabbit hole, of course. I watched When We Were Kings. Mm-hmm. Watched the whole thing again last night for maybe the 50th time.
I haven't seen that in years.
Unbelievable.
So good.
Unbelievable.
Best documentary of all time.
Jaw on the floor still.
Best documentary
of all time. 100%. So cool. Just amazing. But you saw when he fought, what was that, at 10 in the morning in Congo?
Rumble in the Jungle.
Yeah.
Foreman.
To accommodate the, it's 10 a.m. in the 10 a.m. in Congo to accommodate the U.S. market.
I mean,
so it's not like unheard of.
We do. I fought Pacquiao at 11 a.m. on Sunday. Like,
damn, that must have been crazy.
It sucked, but whatever. It is what it is. We're fighters. We're entertainers. Like, we have to do it. Like, it's not crazy. It's not. It's and also talking about the legal thing or in terms of the mandates and leaving it on the federally what's going on over there. This has happened before. There is precedent. Zu Hatton was a fight that was, I think, something at like 2 a.m. or something like that, or 1 a.m. And then also one of the UFC cards did it as well. They've been able to push back the curfew. So it's not unprecedented. It's not the craziest thing in the world. Does it suck for the British fans? And it is kind of a slap in the face. Absolutely. But life goes on and boxing continues to do boxing things.
Yeah. Turkey's not going to throw Netflix under the bus.
No.
He's not going to say, well, look, this is what Netflix wants. He could, but he's like, once again, pushing it towards politicians, pushing it towards, you know, we can just do this in Miami. We can do this in Vegas and probably get a site fee.
How come he doesn't want to do it in the UK? It seems like he doesn't want to do it in the UK. What would be the reason?
Because I think Netflix is driving the bus here. I really think they...
So they don't want to do
want it at a certain
they,
time.
You think Netflix doesn't want to do it in the U.S. or they do want to do it in the U.S.?
I think if they had their wish, they would do it in the U.S.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And they would do it at prime time. And that's what they care about. So they don't care about the gate. Like,
no.
Why
would Netflix care about the gate? It's nuts.
They don't.
No.
The Jake Paul fights did well at the gate. They weren't horrible. And that MMA card did well at the gate. It wasn't a full sellout for Netflix. But it's all about getting people to sub.
Tyson AJ is going to be a sellout, dude. There's going to be 90,000 people in there. That's going to be
no matter what
insanity.
Time.
Insanity.
No matter what time.
Yeah, I think so. People are going to take off work for a week for that.
That's awesome. I hope it happens, but these details are just so annoying.
There's a couple other details. They both have to fight and win before this. So this makes me nervous, too.
Pranga.
No.
Bringa.
You never know. You never know. It's boxing. It's heavyweight boxing. You never know.
Well, Watch is not going to do anything to fear.
No. But, dude, a cut, something stupid, yeah.
Cut.
Injury.
A cut
injury.
Is what you worry about.
Yeah, I'm worried about anything. So many things can happen.
So many things. Let's get to our FanDuel segment. MMA's biggest star is back in the octagon, July 11th. That's this Saturday. You can bet on all the action with FanDuel. Right now, all customers can make a knockout bet with 50% profit boost. 50% on any fight night bet, including McGregor versus Holloway. It's a really good card. So whether the fight goes a distance, first round knockout, over under, you can boost your bet and take home even more winnings. Method of victory, like I said, over under, fighter props, so much more. There's no end to the bet types on FanDuel. Go to FanDuel Sportsbook now. Get your profit boost. 50% profit boost. McGregor back in the octagon. That gets me interested.
It's interesting, yes.
Interesting is the word I'm going.
Watching him what version of McGregor we're getting, what's unfolding this week. I've noticed some things. Some perceptions I have. Number one, physically, he does not look the same. You know, the guy looked like he aged 20 years in 5 years. The living is catching up. He is 37, which that's usually where even guys who are holding on, that's where we fall off the cliff. Two, he does not talk the way he used to talk. He does not have the gift of gab anymore. It's awkward. It doesn't have the same fluidity. Doesn't have the same confidence behind it. We're dealing with a very different guy, and it's odd to see it because he was so dynamic, so explosive on the mic, and he was when he fought. When he was on, he really was supremely talented and really fun to watch. I don't know what version we're going to get. From what I'm seeing from the outside, it's not going to look good on the inside because usually that went hand in hand with him. So this could be a rough night.
Saw a bald spot and it got me.
I saw that too. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, damn. It's like, you're right. Like 5 years ago, 10 years ago, he was the coolest guy walking the earth.
Yeah. the swinging arm billionaire walk thing. He's still trying to
the Mayweather lead up. I was at the Brooklyn presser. It's like some of the first media I ever did. And man, that was
huge. What was that? 17, 18? What year was that?
2017. He actually, like, talking about him talking and doing all these interviews, he pretty much brought up the fact that someone said, "Hey, did like the fame get to you? Like the things that bring down a lot of fighters?" He's like, yeah." He's like, "In 2017, I was an athlete." He goes, "I fought double champ at the MSG, and then I got the McGregor fight. I mean, the Mayweather fight. And then I get a whiskey brand. I'm on top of the world." He goes, "I go into my garage, there's 100 cases of whiskey." He goes, "I never was a drinker," which I kind of don't believe. "But I wasn't a big drinker. Now I got 2 bottles under my arm. I got all this money." And he said he's that's where it all went downhill. And that's why he is a plus 182 underdog as of Thursday. But I will say this. Our guy at FanDuel sent this over to me, Mike Moscone. Shout out Mike Moscone. 86% of moneyline bets are on McGregor. His fans still believe it.
I saw that even in some of the videos where they were talking to him and had some of the you know, the fighters and other people. They're asking all these different people, like, you know, who they got. And they still are diehards, man. They don't look at the reality. They just look at what he is, that persona.
There is value on McGregor landing something big. I mean, it's a big, the odds are huge, but there is some value. If you still believe in that left hand, you still believe in what is Conor McGregor, even though he is a shell of himself, hasn't fought in 5 years, hasn't won since that Cerrone fight. Holloway, minus 235 favorite. Expected that to be wider. To me, what I'm looking at is the over-under. How long is this fight going to last? 2.5 rounds is the over-under. Plus 100 for the over. Vegas thinks that it's going to go under 2.5 rounds. It was minus 128 for the under.
Yeah, I think it's going to go under too. When's the last time that he's gone past... When was the last time he seen the third round anyway? Like, I mean, it's
been a
long time.
Cerrone fight ended so quick. Remember the shoulders?
Yeah, that was the last time he looked good. That was his last win. He
went 4 rounds against Khabib.
That was a while. I think he went more. How many rounds did he go with Dustin Poirier before? Not when he broke his leg, because that I think happened in the second round. But the first one, I think they went a couple rounds, three, four rounds.
Well, that's why I'm like, he's in the best shape. I see, like you say, he doesn't look the same, but like everything their coaches are saying, like, he took this camp really seriously. He's in the right mindset. Always had a good chin.
What else are they going to say? He's got a good chin, but he's got a weak heart. Gives up.
And Holloway's got some of the best hands in MMA.
And he's got a great chin, and he's relentless.
He's just in a groove.
And he's got a gas tank like you couldn't believe, and he's got big cojones. He fights.
And it's at 170.
Which is a very helpful for McGregor. He's a much bigger man than Max.
Max stoppage. So we're looking at some parlays now. Max stoppage over 2.5 rounds. Plus 277. Mm. Max stoppage under 2.5 rounds, which is, I think, is the Algeria special, plus 171.
It's so much juicier if it's over, though. See, now
you
mentioned up the weight class. Does McGregor's size allow him to last longer? Or does it allow him to get tired faster? You know, because then you got one or the other. Because like I said, his chin is good, but that heart and that cardiovascular system, not so much. But he's also bigger, more durable. It takes more shots. I don't know.
McGregor lands one, and say McGregor wins. This is the year of the upset. I did predict Gaethje to beat Topuria. That just flips everything upside down.
Oh, yeah.
Then you're looking at a legitimate title shot. He'll fight Gaethje.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Man, if you're writing this the story of McGregor's life or career, that would be it, man. But I just
McGregor's stoppage is plus 270.
I don't see him beating Max.
Yeah, I don't see it either. I'm being realistic here. I was looking at some of these prop bets. Max to stop Conor in round one, plus 600. Different than boxing. 5 minutes. That's an eternity.
And there's a lot of ways to stop a guy. It's not just...
No, sorry. It's TKO.
Okay.
So it's not a sub. I don't think this fight is not ending.
Okay, regardless, there's still a lot of ways to stop a guy. You can kick him in their head. You can knee him. You can cut him. You can hit him with pans.
But that's a TKO, KO. Yeah,
that's what I mean. Those are all different ways to get the same result. It's not like boxing. It's like, oh, is it right hand or left hand?
even if you think McGregor can get past the first, Max to stop him in round two is plus 650.
Wow.
That's worth the sprinkle right there.
Yeah. To stop him in the second, plus six. Oof, man. You're going to get me in trouble. You're going to get me in trouble with these with these juicy numbers, Dan.
I'm definitely throwing down on something. I'm making a video on this after this for FanDuel. I'm going to be watching in Montauk.
Oh, that's cool. Montauk Summer.
Bounce Nightclub on the beach is putting it on a big screen.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah, it's World Cup games because I'm a big soccer guy, as we stated in the show. Hope no one sees me there, watching it, takes a picture. Look at this idiot. This guy actually does like it. So head over to FanDuel right now. The 50% profit boost on any fight night bet. McGregor, Holloway, make things interesting. Patty Pimblett on this card.
I think
it's actually a pretty good.
Patty's going to lose. Benoit is good. He's mean. He's nasty. He's a Frenchman. He's got some really good wins. He's a nightmare. He's a nightmare. I don't know if Patty's ready for a guy like that.
How about the McGregor Pimblett? I want to feel something parlay.
you want to feel dread and loss in your bank account?
Plus 531.
In your bank account? Yeah, I don't know.
Plus 531.
Hey, listen. What the hell do we know? We're a boxing podcast. maybe Patty and
we know combat,
and maybe Patty and McGregor do it.
Thanks to our friends at FanDuel. Go download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. All right, let's get to our mid-year award show. It's the mid-year. We're halfway through. It's been a good year. Some would say it's been mid. Kids still using that term?
I don't think so.
I think it's been, I would give it like a B minus.
Yeah, decent year. We've had worse. We've had better. But
no real big fight. No, the consistency is my main thing. Like, I want consistency. There's just these long stretches where we're not getting anything at all. And there's a couple of them in the 6 month span.
But then we also have like these sprints where we're like jammed all three fights in a weekend. You know, we've had a couple weeks like that too. So it's just, I would like boxing to work together a little bit and spread things out a little bit. But we're still getting tons of boxing, tons to talk about, and some good fights.
I will say this though, Chris, with DAZN controlling the lion's share of promoters in the sport, could we possibly see a schedule now?
Well, I feel like they want to do every Saturday. So
could we see a schedule? Can we see all these guys? People are at a peace summit, right? This ridiculous peace summit that happened
which
last week.
Had like, which only had utter 30% of the people there that mattered.
Stupid. Yeah. I want to see Hearn, Oscar, Warren, PBC, whoever's representing PBC. It's not really Al Heyman anymore. Luis de Cubas, whoever. Let's get them all in a room. Let's get a big, giant erase board, just like a fantasy football draft. And let's get some big fights, and let's spread it out, and let's get some actual schedule. Remember when Showtime used to do their big rollout? I went to one at Cipriani's.
Nice.
How do you say it? Cipriani's. Chip Cipriani's in Manhattan. It's probably the most prestigious, I wouldn't even call it a restaurant. It's like a catering hall. People get married there and stuff. Anyway, Showtime did their rollout there in 2018 for their first 6 months of fights. Every fighter was there. Wilder, Spence, Broner. This is 2018. These are the stars then. They all got up on a stage. They announced fights. They did face-offs. They were in suits. I was in a suit. That was great. We have something to look forward to.
It was probably an ill-fitting suit.
No, it was. It was very bad fit. It was 2018. I had just gotten into the media game.
Yeah, nobody's first couple suits are ever fit.
I got a picture. My dad is actually the cameraman. That's a shout-out, Bob Canobia.
That's awesome. Your dad doing it all.
CEO, creator of CompuBox. I'm going to be my son's cameraman. Oh, I got some great interviews that day. Anyway, point. Maybe DAZN will... do that with this ultimate plan and make some stability. January started the year. We started the year off with Dalton Smith upset of Matias. That was nice. Shakur Teo, big time event. Our event at Jack Doyle's, even bigger than that. Jarrell Miller's hair fell off.
That's right.
What else? The launch of Zuffa, which became probably the biggest storyline of 2026. That all happened in January. February, Ryan Garcia over Barrios. Ryan's dad called Algeria piece of shit, called me his... corny partner. We mended the fences there. We joined Uncrowned in February. How can we forget? Right. Shout out to Uncrowned. Yeah. Mayweather Pacquiao 2 got announced. Frank Warren sues Turkey. Usyk Rico announced in February. On to March. Opetaia Glanton. Opetaia gets stripped. The IBF nonsense, more Zuffa nonsense, more sanctioning bodies nonsense. Virgil Boots blows up. Virgil goes to litigation with Golden Boy. We had Najee Lopez versus Emmanuel Gallegos, which you were on the call for. One of the best fights of 2026 so far. Top Rank announces they're going to DAZN, Fundora, Thurman, Atama Franklin in March. April, Wilder ejaculation story.
I can't believe that made the recap.
I mean, you know, that's just a story. You don't forget that. Wilder Chisora fight, which was got Chris angry. The angriest podcast we ever did was Wilder Chisora. Yeah. Fury Makhmudov, Ben Progre, AJ Fura saga begins after Fury beats Makhmudov. It's been going on ever since. The Senate hearing on the Ali Act with Oscar and Nicole Walsh and Nick Khan. May was the best month we had so far this year. Inoue Nakatani, Benavidez Zerto, Usyk Rico, Foster Ford. That's real boxing. And then here we are in June with Boots Zayas. Some good fights this month. We're in July now, actually. And here we are in July. So up and down, ejaculates, call-outs, fights, litigation, Senate hearings.
That was a pretty...
Just another 6 months in boxing.
Boxing. Wild, wild west. Nice little recap there, Dan. I needed that because so much happens and we're so close to the sport. I forget where we are. I lose timing.
Exactly. It's a week-to-week sport. It's you forget about last week and you're on to the next.
I'm actually changing my mid-year awards as I'm going because I'm like, oh, man, I forgot about that. Oh, I forgot about that. It's like, all right, well...
Another thing, too, is I don't really, keep a log. What I did was I went to my Twitter. I went to January, and I'm on that shit every day.
I was wondering. I was like, you probably should just take a log at the end of every month. You're going to have to do this twice a year anyway.
I always depend on, this guy Fight Ghost.
I just figured you checked your dear diary. Dan's
my dear diary. Tonight was a great day. Deontay Wilder ejaculated all over the place. Yeah, I went to my Twitter, which is my diary, essentially.
Essentially, it's my boxing public diary.
At least. Yeah, soccer tweet. Horrible.
At least we know what the worst tweet of the year was.
We should make that an award.
We should.
Worst tweet of the year.
Oh, that's a really good one.
I got many of them. So we have performance, fight, round, disappointment, story, knockout, moment. I added trainer. Didn't do fighter because it's only halfway through the year. I don't think... Has anyone fought twice so far? Zayas has fought twice. So I went with performance over fighter of the year. Fighter of the year is a year-end award.
Did Boots fight twice?
Guys only fight twice.
That first fight?
Zayas fought twice this year.
What about Boots? Did he fight twice? When was the... That blowout.
He fought Lima last November, or October. Let's start with the big ones. We go opposite of the Oscars. We start with the big ones, and then we go down. Performance of the year. Now, I'm torn between two big-time performances. Benavidez, knockout of Zerto, Shakur's masterpiece of Teofimo. I tweeted this out yesterday. Shakur retweeted it. He always retweets it when it's positive. But when it's the slightest bit negative, he wants to fight me. Love you, Shakur. I'm going with Benavidez over Zerto. I left that arena in utter astonishment. My jaw was on the floor. I had never seen hands that fast. Zerto had never been stopped like that. This was a cruiserweight champion. Not the best cruiserweight. That's Jai Opetaia. Still a champion nonetheless. I was in awe. In a different way than I was also in awe with Shakur. But I left that Benavidez fight there was a buzz in that crowd. There was a buzz in Vegas that night. That's my performance of the year so far.
I'm going the opposite. I'm going Shakur over Tio. I thought the performance was spectacular. The way he did it to such a dangerous opponent was really impressive. With Benavidez over Zerto, I knew he was going to win. I didn't think it was going to be like that. But I was also this is kind of no-brainer. And, you know, I don't think Zerto's going to really give him that much trouble. But with Tio, I was like, Tio has a lot of things that he can make work. I don't know. And he made nothing work. And Shakur was able to completely shut him down. Someone who is an excellent, excellent fighter. To be able to do that to someone at that level was wildly impressive. Talk about being in awe of a performance. So for me, that no-brainer. Shakur over Tio, performance of the year.
Yeah, my case for Shakur was that I rate Teofimo higher than Zerto. Yeah. I understand they're two different weight classes. But you can do that. Strength of schedule, opposition. Like, you can use your eyes, and I know it's subjective, but I believe that Teofimo came into that Shakur fight with more accolades and better standing than Zerto did for the Benavidez fight.
Also,
Benavidez went up 25 pounds.
Way younger.
Yes.
He was in his prime.
And Benavidez went up in weight, so did Shakur went up in weight. It's just two different types of fights, and it's the reason why I believe boxing is so special, is because there's multiple ways to win a fight. There's different styles. You can choose which style that you like. Majority of people that responded to that tweet, you know, they love Benavidez because he was violent in there and he stopped the fight. He left no doubt. There's people that love the sweet science, disarming an opponent. What do you call it? Domesticating them. He domesticated Teofimo. Yes. He made him into a puppy dog.
He shut him out.
By the third round, even earlier. That was impressive. Shakur, hats off to you. I would give to both these guys.
I always like the honorable mentions. I could give a couple. I always, because it is half year. I mean, for the
What else you got?
Those are my two.
Boots.
Over
Zayas. That was
but that would be a distant third compared to these two.
Definitely third, but like that. The more I look back at that fight, I'm like, I posted something. Did you see this three punch combination that Boots landed? I have it on my Twitter. He hits him with a body shot first. With the right hand. Then he hits him with an uppercut, same hand. And then he throws a little, like, push shot with the left. All in the same sequence.
No, he
witchcraft.
Again, he lets those hands go. It's one of the things I talked about in the lead-up to the fight. His advantages in prolonged exchanges are next level.
Yeah. Boots, Zayas, great performance. Third round, was he hurt? Was he not hurt? He's so great now that we're debating if the guy was partially dazed for a few seconds. That's how great Boots
is. I don't know if we're debating anything. He was in a bad place. He was hurt, and he was...
Yes, he was. Hurt. He was. I was there. I saw the legs leave.
No, he was hurt. And the way he held...
They left.
Yeah, he was hurt. Hurt and tired.
Still fighting while hurt.
And tired. Oh, yeah, no. He was banging while doing that. Like, that's why he's going to be so much fun for so long.
Inoue over Nakatani. Great performance. Navarrete over Sugar Nunez, which is really overlooked.
Yeah.
Brendan Figueroa. Beating Nick Ball.
That was a fun one.
That was a heartbreaker.
For many.
Because he is the heartbreaker.
For many.
My performance is Benavidez. Yours is Shakur. Great job from those two. Great job from everyone. Fight of the year. I think this is should be it. It should be 100% of the vote. Dubois-Wardley. It's one of the best heavyweight fights in ever. Years. Frank Warren said it's the best fight he's ever put on. And that's Frank Warren, damn it. Love that fight. Loved it. Dubois down early. Wardley rallies. Dubois ends it late. That's all you want in a heavyweight title fight.
Dubois went down twice, remember? He dropped the very first punch that landed, and then he got rocked with a shot, and then took a knee, and then roared back. I mean, brutal fight. It was blood. It was guts. There was knockdowns. It was heavyweights. It was two guys that looked like they could end each other at any time. You don't get much better than that, especially when it's heavyweight. Heavyweights just always make everything better. Just big, bad, mean. And that was a fight where it was hard to pick a winner, too. That's another thing. It was like a very competitive matchup. It wasn't that surprising. You know, it was like I could see either guy winning that fight. But I think the right man won because that was a hell of a performance.
Yeah, supposedly they're going to run it back.
That's pretty awesome. Another good fight this year.
I'd like to know what state Wardley's in right now. He took a lot of punishment and like his face was messed up.
His statements seem good. He seems positive.
It won't be till the end of the year. But that fight was awesome. It was a sold out crowd. It was the right crowd, the right venue at the right time. Accommodated the fans. There was that whole mess with Turkey kind of like took shots at that event. Ended up selling out. Ended up being awesome. Great fight. Honorable mention.
Najee Lopez.
Figueroa versus Ball. Oh, okay. Najee Lopez Gallegos, which you were on the call of.
Yeah, that was insanity. Being in the room was nuts. I mean, we were in a pretty small venue in Orlando, but people came out and they were going absolutely bananas. The fight, that was another one. Blood and guts. We had knockdowns. We had the guy who got dropped is the guy who won. He wins by knockout. Beautiful performance from both guys. Super, super tough. Neither one wanted to give an inch, willing to put it all on the line. And the crowd was going absolutely crazy when the fight ended. You know, you got coaches fighting in the ring. Guy, you know, Najee's on his knees crying and praying.
it was a wild scene.
Awesome fight. So that's a very strong honorable mention. Only beat out because it's heavyweights, in my opinion, and the level. But
well, that was the fight, like fight of the year. It's like a chart. Yeah. It's like they have like that was my point, fight of the year until something was going to replace it. Like something. I hope that something tops Wardley Dubois. That means we had an awesome year. I just like anything in the discussion. It's great. This is all subjective. Like, you know, did you watch Conor Walker, Sam Eggington?
I did not. I know Sam.
Neither did I. I went back and watched the highlights this morning.
I saw clips of it. Yes.
I know it is what it is. I can't watch every fight. I know it was a big one. So I went back and watched the highlights. Conor Walker stops Eggington in 10 rounds. Awesome fight. Got a lot of shout outs on that on Twitter. That was a great fight. I'm sure there are some more out there that we missed.
Eggington is a tough bastard. He's been around for a long time, man.
Yeah, he is. Great fights. I hope there are a lot more over the next 6 months. Round three, Boots Zayas is my round of the year.
I thought you might go that way. Mid-year. Rounds are hard to pick. Talk about how much we go.
I forget a lot of the rounds.
Of course. Very, very hard. But I went back and thinking of the year. So actually, this was on the undercard of Subra Matias Dalton Smith versus Subra Matias. Now Dalton is a champ. So an undercard of that, Javier Cintron versus Victor Sandoval.
Oh, yeah.
That one round destruction where they're knocking each other's heads off in the beginning, and Cintron, who was highly rated, highly touted, and was really good, gets dropped so bad. His head almost got taken off in the first round to a guy who was just like a journeyman. And then it's like blood and guts from there on. It's like anything can happen. Ends in the first round. You know, Cintron keeps his record undefeated, but that was a hell of a round. You're like out of nowhere too. You're just like, whoa, what's going on here? Totally unexpected.
January fights get lost.
Yeah. Man. Too early in the year.
Like we said, this is a week to week sport. You kind of forget what happened last week, last month. Like, that card was great.
That whole card was good.
Dalton Smith became a champion, and he's on the shelf because... Did he get hurt? Yeah, he got hurt. And Puelo, they're supposed to fight. That was an awesome round. Yeah, Boots Zayas, the magnitude of it, the ebbs and flows of a round. It has to have that. It has to have momentum swings. That's what makes rounds crazy. Both guys hit the canvas in the same round. That's wild. For Boots, he got rocked. He got knocked back a little bit. Zayas came on. Boots ends the round really strong. That, to me, is what rounds are made of, memorable rounds, and then like the magnitude, huge fight, you know, a sellout crowd at Barclays, one of the bigger fights of the year, throw that into the mix. That was my round of the year. Disappointment, hate to go negative here. I see you went with performances. I went with just Devin Haney in general. Love Devin Haney.
Just in general, him as a person.
I like him as a person. I like him as a fighter. I stick up for him. I always have. I love the win over Norman. I thought that was such a cool win to kind of tell everyone to go shove it. And we predicted that he was going to win. He wins. And what does he do? He hasn't fought since. Or in July. Failed negotiations with Ryan. Not entirely his fault there. Failed negotiations with Rolly. Now he is on Twitter, his dad, negotiating different fights every single day. We're going to get maybe one fight out of Haney this year. That's ridiculous. What other sport does your main star... He is a star. You might not like the way he fights. He is a star. He drives conversations. That Norman Haney buildup was fascinating, and it was big-time talk in the boxing world. He drives conversations. One time this year, it better be big. It could be Keyshawn Davis, and then
it's big.
I'll forget about the first.
I will shut my mouth and take my bags and go. I don't see Devin taking any fight that's not big at this point. I don't like. He needed that Ramirez fight because it was off the Ryan Garcia fight. But other than that, he fights big fights. You know, he went from to 140, went right to Pearl Gray, and he goes up to 47. Like he went to Ryan. Like he's. He makes big fights. I think
Lomachenko.
I think at this stage, yeah, exactly. At 35 and then right to 40. I think at this stage, he's looking for the biggest fights possible. They've maneuvered him to get here, to be able to do that and garner tons of money. But yes, yeah, deserved. And yes, yeah, it is a disappointment that we've not seen him fight. But the whole welterweight division is a disappointment in that way. these guys just don't fight enough. These champions are not active, and it's not good for the sport. It's not good for their careers. It's not good for the weight class. But what are you gonna do?
According to Bill Haney, they tried to make that tank fight. Bill Haney called Al Haney.
Oh, is that how the tank information broke, that he's not gonna fight till 27?
Yes. So Haney goes. Bill Haney goes to Twitter and goes, "I just spoke to Al. Ton of respect for him. He tells me Tank will not be fighting this year, but will be fighting next year."
That makes sense. I was wondering why Bill was breaking that news.
Right. Who knows if the conversation happened? Whatever. I don't think he would lie on Al's name. There's a ton of respect out there for Al Haney. But let's just say, like, there was some type of, like, Al says, yeah, let's make that Tank Haney fight next year. So what does that mean for Haney this year? If you know that a Tank fight is out there, can you depend on Tank? Do you still have to go through? Because if he doesn't fight Keyshawn Davis, I think he has to give up his belt.
Oh, wow.
Like, the WBO has ordered that fight.
Yeah, and they don't play. They don't play.
Gustavo?
Yeah.
Our guy?
Our guy. They don't.
Gustavo O?
They don't play.
Gustavo?
Yeah, that's he's got to fight this year. He can't just sit out and wait for Tank. Because, again, Tank is a wild card. Also, is Tank going to come out and come right into a 2 years off, going to go right into a big fight? Does he – I mean –
I think it's big fights only for Tank. Oof,
that's tough, man. 2 years off. I've had 2 years off. 2 years off is like retiring. You have to like become a fighter again. That's
McGregor's 5 years.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, it's also MMA. It's a little different, but yeah, no.
Yeah. So this could change real fast. My disappointment with Haney. He fights Shakur Stevenson. Yeah, but I just want to watch Haney fight. Like
there's
people out there.
We like when Haney fights.
Like Devin Haney.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Not many stars in the sport. Take what we can get. What's your disappointment?
I got two, and I went based on like fighters and performances, and it sucks because they're two of my favorite fighters, two guys I really, really like. The performance of Teofimo versus Shakur Stevenson, because I really wanted to see something from that fight, and I just didn't get it. And it's not a knock on Teo, it's more of just how goddamn good Shakur is. And then Morrell, just the way that Morrell went out, dude. I really like David.
Upset.
Really,
that's upset of the year.
Yeah, it's got to be. I mean, I really like David Morrell. I liked where he could go. I like the way he moved. I like the way he tries to fight everyone. Like, he's willing to fight anybody at all times. But, dude, just took a – he had a couple of tough fights in a row, and it caught up real fast. And it's a shame. We might never see him at the highest level again.
Yeah, there's a debate there where, like, the people that say we should not throw fighters into the fire too quick. We should marinate fights. We should marinate careers. There's that side. There's a whole other side, but it's like maybe, you know, Morrell, it just is what he is. And then you put him in there with the toughest fights and he's going to lose him. Should he have lost to Zach Chelly? Absolutely not. But Zach Chelly, the story, upset of the year? 100%. So a disappointment on one side is a man's best moment of his life.
Yeah.
Zach Chelly, I think, is a school teacher. Awesome story. That was really cool. Story of the year, Zuffa. Zuffa boxing dominated. They had their first shows January. We were watching that Paramount show, which was essentially a club show, watching it and breaking down every single aspect of it. They had a few shows, like, out of the gate. They did January, February, March. February, there was a good card. January was the first one. The March one was the Opataya. It's kind of faded a little bit over the last couple of months because boxing, the traditional boxing schedule has ramped up. But Zuffa isn't going anywhere. When I say Zuffa, I also mean like the Senate hearings,
yeah,
the Ali Act. Mm-hmm. It's all wrapped into one. And they, to me, were the story of 2026 so far.
They fell off so much that I forgot that this happened in January. So I didn't have this in my first one. But this is 100% the story of the first 6 months, is the inception of Zuffa coming out, doing shows. But they have fallen off precipitously. But there's also the Senate hearing, so that's part of it as well, just like you said. Because at first, I'm trying to think, I'm like, what is the story of this year? I went Rico Verhoeven. I think Rico and his effort definitely. with Usyk, and then the drama related to the stoppage, and then, you know, him coming back and trying to get it overturned. What happens from here? Basically, Usyk realizing that he's not the same guy, and getting rid of all the titles. This is all wrapped up in the same thing. This is why I thought this was a big story. So there's a lot of meat on that bone too.
Yeah, we're gonna keep an eye on Zuffa. The first three we had eyeballs on them, but like no one's really watching it for the there are people watching it for the fights, but they're not big names, these Sunday night cards. So the minute we have big cards starting to roll out now on DAZN, TNT, they're going to go to the back burner. And that's the biggest knock about Zuffa so far, is that like these club shows, the Sunday night ones aren't really pushing, moving the needle, I should say. But they sign a Shakur, which according to Dan Rayfield, he did. If they can somehow, maybe Devin Haney fights Shakur on Zuffa with Zuffa's banner. That to me is important. Like Usyk fighting Wilder with the Zuffa banner, that doesn't really do that much for me because Usyk has one fight. So that's just buying a fight. Shakur Haney, that's a big move.
Yeah, but aren't you just buying a fight there too? Because where do you go from there if you can't fight other, you know, if you're not going to be able to make...
Unless they sign them to a multi-fight agreement.
But then how are you going to get dance partners?
That's another thing too. And then you've Zuffa, or not Zuffa, but Turkey owns 10% of the DAZN.
It's getting complicated.
DAZN Stronghold,
yeah.
Also a story.
Yeah, I mean, they made power moves. Made a real power move this year to fend off the onslaught that was coming from Turkey and Ring and Zuffa and Paramount. It's been pretty interesting, but at the end of the day, we as fans are winning because we're getting a lot of good fights. There's so much boxing on. There's so much boxing content. It's a great time to be a boxing fan. It's a little expensive. Don't get me wrong. But we have a lot of content.
Well, competition breeds, what's the saying? Shit. Competition's good.
Well, I mean, it's the rising tide raises all ships idea, so.
Yes, that too. Like, the reason UFC doesn't have any competition.
Ah, they've fallen off dramatically.
They have no competition, so what's their real
drive
to go out there and promote. Yeah, to promote the McGregor fight's big, but it feels different.
Well, the White House card.
They got the Paramount deal.
That was a big
White House card was massive. I will say that. But when you don't have any real competition, you can kind of just skate. I wouldn't say skate by, but we see competition in boxing. Now DAZN antes up. Top Rank, PBC, Boxer, Queensberry to join Matchroom and Golden Boy, which were there from the start. It's big. Knockout of the year.
Oh yeah.
Umar Zambekov.
Oh, that uppercut. That lead uppercut? That thing was nasty.
On Ahmed Alabali. That was the February Zuffa event. That's my knockout.
Mine is Alan Sanchez, Argentinian, over Miguel Madueño. Miguel Madueño was super tough, super durable. Went 10 with Keyshawn. Got hit with everything. Didn't blink. Alan Sanchez ices him with a left hand. I mean, head bounces off the floor, off the canvas. Brutal, brutal knockout, and literally everyone's like, okay. I'm sorry, Alan Chavez. I said Sanchez.
Chavez.
Alan Chavez. I mean, the world knows who this kid is now. Alan Chavez, brutal knockout of Miguel Madueño, kind of out of nowhere because Madueño is normally extremely, extremely durable. I was expecting, we got a little scrap here because Madueño is good. He beats some guys. And no. Chavez ices him with that left hand. That kid's dangerous. 135 is another stud. And, Alan Chavez is there.
If, what's his name? Cordina? They're already penciling him for the 7-on-7. Like, they don't think he's going to get over to the States, even if they, like, try to figure out a way for him to fight Mason at the end of the year. That's what I'm reading. I saw that, like, they're just, like, kind of moving on from that. And they're already putting Cordina in some 7-on-7 matchroom versus Queensberry. So, Alan Chavez is next in line. With the WBO.
For Mason?
To fight Abdullah Mason. Oof.
That's... Oh, I mean, Mason...
Risky business.
Mason will do it, but yeah, that's really risky. Really risky.
Like, you saw this with Zayas. Top Rank will do this. Like, Zayas kind of took his career to his own hands there.
I think Mason will do the same thing.
Yeah, he's definitely forced their
hand. I think Mason will do the same thing. That kid wants all the smoke,
I know he does, but not saying that he can't beat him, but I mean, Albert Bell he wasn't going to win Albert Bell, but like six rounds, I was like, shit.
But we said that. We knew Albert Bell was a difficult style and you know, physique, and they also have the history together. So, and that was just going to be a tough fight IQ-wise, but Alan Chavez is going to be like another Noakes fight, like a puncher who's going to stand and fight.
Like, how many of those can Mason?
I mean, before the age of 23? Stand. I don't know. We should really pump the brakes a little bit. But you can't because you're a champion. You're a champion in a tough weight class.
Yeah. Moses Atama, that uppercut over Jermaine Franklin.
That was pretty sick. Pretty sick.
Franklin had never been stopped. Atama was even impressed with himself, even though he's not a guy that would ever, like, I was actually kind of shocked because he's pretty bad. When's that bad? He's just a reserved guy.
Yes. He's not media trained yet. He'll figure it out.
But he said that he was impressed. He impressed himself with the stoppage, which I found pretty cool. Like, open up a little bit. Like, he impresses himself with the skills that he has.
Well, I think
left uppercut.
The package that he delivers, what he has, like, he's finding himself too. He hasn't been doing this that long, and he's so athletic and big. And once you start hitting guys that you like are supposed to be tough and you see them crumble too, you're like, oh, wow, okay. I think every fighter goes through that, especially guys like that who are special punchers the way that he is. When you've been watching, he's probably watched Franklin for years and is like, now I'm fighting this guy. And then I blitz him the way I do. Yeah, okay. I'm impressed.
Moment of the year. I didn't put this in the for you, but Jarrell Miller's hair.
Comedic moment of the year?
That was a moment.
And the way that he captured that moment and ran with it, that's really something.
Went on Jimmy Kimmel.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Parlayed it into his own main event.
That's so sick.
On the zone. That hair flopping off. That shit was everywhere. It went to every corner of the internet. Not just boxing. Not just sports. Everywhere.
Everywhere. And
it was on Facebook. Like, your aunt posted it on Facebook.
It couldn't. Yeah, that's a good point. It couldn't happen to a better guy either. Because Jarrell being able to deal with that and roll with the punches. Like, he's.
I think it couldn't happen to a worse guy.
Well.
He hung up on me.
Well, that's you guys. You guys have your history.
Personal vendetta here. Only guy to ever hang up on me in the 8-year history of this program.
I mean, you must have said something to piss him off. But regardless,
no.
The way.
Whatever. Not about me.
He ran with that and handled that, because if you know him, he's a very like fun, jovial guy. He's really tough, and he can be too. But he's a funny guy. He thinks quick. So for him to be able to take that and deal with it and run with it, I mean, no one else could have done it that way.
Bro, there was a picture out there of Usyk holding the hairpiece in utter astonishment. Like, that is wild.
Wild. Wild.
And we were at the party at the bar at Jack Doyle's, and I was recording it. Like, the reactions in the bar. Moment of the year. Jarrell Miller's hairpiece flopping off. Usyk. When the referee stopped the Usyk-Rico fight.
That's a big one.
That was a moment. The shock of Conor Benn signing with Zuffa.
Well, that was like the first, like, whoa, where did that come from?
I thought it was like my phone. I was getting
spammed.
What's the word? Spammed or whatever. Like NBA Centel. There's an account on Twitter where they just post fake stuff, but it's kind of real. Parody. I thought I was getting parodied. But Conor Benn did sign with Zuffa.
He did.
And he fought Regis Progre. Did not look good. And now he parlays that into a Ryan Garcia fight. What about the rest of the year? Do you have any bold predictions?
We didn't do trainer, by the way. But
I didn't have one because I figured these guys only fight once. But I would say Andy Lee, Robert Garcia.
Yeah, so I said the same. Robert Garcia, based on how many goddamn guys he has. Like you said, they only fight once a year. But he's got such a crew. So many guys that are really top flight. And guys that are hanging in the wind, too. Like a Raul Curiel, who's like right there, you know, who can't get a title shot because the weight class is just full of stars. he's got a bunch of guys. And then Andy, just what he's been able to do with certain guys. I mean, his transformation of Ben Whitaker has been pretty distinct. You know, he really, like that Rivera fight could have been a tough fight. And Whitaker made it look easy. I was super impressed with that.
It's such a trendy profession, such a trendy trainer. It's like you have highs and lows. Like, obviously, the Freddie Roaches of the world, Teddy Atlas, Robert Garcia, you can just do it for a long time. But guys like Derek James,
yeah,
who's still a great trainer, but have you been following this Errol Spence back and forth? I just find it so sad when, like, Abel Sanchez had his breakup with Golovkin and they start trashing each other. Like, Spence and James, he was there from the beginning. Like, obviously, it was over money, which is always the case. But at the beginning, at the lead up to the Crawford fight, apparently Derek James was a hot commodity. He was training like 7 different fighters, and there's like a little bit of a talk out there that he just didn't have time for Spence. Spence didn't spar apparently for months on end, leading up to that Crawford fight. So you know, it's a kind of what have you done for me lately type of profession.
Well, it's who do you, but guys like Andy Lee, if you got a star,
that too. But you have to, like Derek James, you only have, it's the same thing with a fighter. You only have a certain amount of years to like cash in. So if you're the hot commodity and Ryan Garcia is asking for you, Anthony Joshua in the same year, Errol Spence, like how do you turn that down? Like I'll figure out a way to do it. I'll figure out a way to multitask.
But then you get performances starting to drop and you get
someone's going
to
suffer.
You get fighters who are like, all right, well, this guy's, I've seen that in my own gym as well. If you don't have time for a certain guy, like guys get really butthurt about that because this is my career. I'm on the line. Yeah, I understand you got other fighters and whatnot, but it's a difficult juggling that you got to do as a trainer. That's one of the reasons I don't want to be a trainer. It's really,
I was going to say, would you ever become a trainer?
No way. It takes way too much time. Way too much time. There's too many chiefs in the wigwam or whatever, or chefs in the kitchen. Chiefs in the wigwam.
Chiefs in the wigwam. That's amazing.
That's like from third grade. Chefs in the kitchen.
TP.
Because you got to deal with the manager. You got to deal with promoters. You got to do this is your fighter and you got to, you know. It's tough. I see what Robert.
You'd be damn good at it, though.
Sure, of course I would. I thoroughly believe that. But I see what Robert Garcia goes through. I'm very close with him and his team and whatnot. So I've seen it go there, and he's talked to me about it. I don't know.
You would have to change your entire lifestyle.
You gotta live in the gym. You have to live in the gym.
Traveling crazy amounts.
I like training people. Don't get me wrong. I like being in gyms all the time. But like again, like you said, my lifestyle right now, not possible.
It would be way. It's one thing showing up at the gym, like giving a few pointers.
Yeah. Well, when I have to be there, like I go to the gym when I want now. Like I show up, it's cool. I see the young guys that are in there. I work with some of the guys, you know, whenever I'm there. If I have to be there, then I'm gonna let people down too. Because like I got other things come up. I got to do stuff. I got to go podcast with Dan.
That takes up a lot of your time.
People at home, it actually does. This.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, sure it does. I got to do research, dude. Okay. I got to do my homework.
You do have, these are the episodes you got to do a lot of research where you have to like look stuff up. You just like to wing it and just go off of feels. I do a lot of prep. Rest of the year.
What are we going to see?
Any bold predictions? We got the Ryan's, like we're going to have a lot of fights at the end of the second half of this year. There's guys that haven't fought this year. We have stars that are going to come back. Canelo Alvarez steps back into the ring. We should have AJ and Fury. We should have Usyk's final fight. You should have Wardley step back in there. You should have Dubois step back in there. There's a lot to look forward to the rest of the year.
I'm so pessimistic, though. Like, I want to say, like, really good, like, positive things. And I'm like, nah, this is boxing. This doesn't happen. Like, I would like to say, if we don't get Ryan Ben in September, I'd like to say that we get Haney Ryan before the year ends.
Right. There's going to be some real shock.
Like, I would like to say that, but I can't. I can't confidently say that. I would love to just get him on a soapbox and be like, that's going to happen, but I can't. I
will say this. I think that Canelo is going to lose to Mbilly.
Wow. Bold. So you and Paulie Malignaggi are on the same page in that one.
Well, I'm not like an extreme hater like Paulie is.
Yeah, he...
I just think Aram said it best. Aram said that guy belongs on a golf course, not in a boxing ring.
Aram said that about Canelo?
Yeah, last week.
Aram's so awesome. So awesome.
Yeah, that interview he did with Hearn, I thought it was amazing.
Amazing. I was reposting clips. Like, he's still so sharp. It's so wild.
It's insane how sharp he is. Like, he's still speaking eloquently on these squabbles that are happening in boxing. Everything. He's up to date on the Shakur.
He's my hero.
This guy, in his lifetime, watched Muhammad Ali and Rolly Romero.
Yeah. Yep.
I watched When We Were Kings. He's not in that, but like, when I was flipping through YouTube, like, there's Bob Arum next to Muhammad Ali. Yeah. And his story about how he got into boxing with Hearn was
awesome.
Amazing. Like, he got Jim Brown introduced him to Muhammad
Ali. As a lawyer.
Arum. Oh, he's the most prolific, charismatic athlete we have. Want to get involved with him? All right. 80 years later, Arum is still kicking.
More than kicking. He's doing it.
Yeah. What a legend. You might not like him. You might not all that. You have to respect him.
Most interesting man I've ever met in my life.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah, Canelo's going to lose. We get AJ Fury. We get Ben versus Connor.
Ben versus Ryan.
Same person. Ryan versus Ben. Haney steps in there with Keyshawn. Wardley Dubois rematch. Usyk fights Wilder. Any other big names? Inoue fights, not Bam yet, but Inoue fights again.
Benavidez goes undisputed at Cruiserweight, leaving Jayo Pitaya hanging out with the ring belt and the Zuffa belt.
So that means that Benavidez will have to fight more twice? Or you think Benavidez is going to pick up another belt? He's going through it right now.
Because what McKellian is WBC. And what did he just win from Zerto?
Two of them.
Right, that's what I mean. So no, so
the only one out there is the IBF.
Which is the one that was stripped from Opataya.
What if IBF is like, all right, we'll put this up on the line.
Very possible. And
all of a sudden Benavidez is undisputed. You can do it in the next one. I don't know if you've been fine. I don't like to get into the personal lives and rumors, but Benavidez is going through it.
I did not hear about that, no.
His fiance went to socials and said that our wedding is off. No cheating, but he's fallen into some of the traps that he's fallen into in his life. Yeah.
Well, it's only one side of the story. I'll say that.
Yeah. I don't exactly love the you know, Aaron. She must be super frustrated and just fed up. I don't know the story. I don't like even talking about this stuff, but it's out there. And Benavidez, everyone, that's what it is now with social media and stuff. Like, we know too much about these fighters.
Yeah. The access to the athletes is very, very slippery slope.
Good and bad. Double-sided.
Mostly
thing.
Bad.
You want to have your vlogs. You want to have your streams. You want to see everything.
But I'm an athlete, I think it's mostly bad.
It's mostly bad. Yes, it's mostly bad. Like, I see guys forming opinions on David Benavidez now based off of what his wife put on Instagram stories.
Personal life, should be kept personal.
I mean, this guy did lose a belt because he failed at cocaine.
It's a long time ago, but yes.
Long ass time ago.
Yeah.
Guys, not the first fighter to use drugs.
Won't be the last either.
Won't be the last either. Just crazy, wild people. Yes. Like the fact that my dad let me around you guys as a kid.
Your dad's a bit of a wild man too. So he's got that gene in him as well.
He is. Bob Canovio, legend. Supposed to play golf later.
Nice. Yeah.
All right, Chris. A good year indeed. Hopefully we have 6 more months of great boxing. No episode on Monday. I am going to Montauk trying to take a little bit of time off. There's no big fights, but we will be back next week to get ready for more. So if you see me in Montauk, say hello. That's it. That's all I got, Chris. You got anything to say?
No. I mean, I'll miss you this weekend, but you'll be having fun. I'll be busy at home, so... all good.
All right, everyone. Keep your hands up at all times. Protect yourselves at all times. Stay out of those DMs. See you next week.